You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
For those of you that are watching online, I just want to say we are aware of the technical problem. And yes, right about here, there is a box that says ignition August break. We wanted to make sure you really knew that. So this ignition August break box is there. You're going to have to actually maybe open your Bible and look at some of the passages since you're not going to be able to see that. But we thought we'd keep the live stream going and you just deal with that box rather than kill the whole thing. So we're aware of it. We apologize. We have no idea what happened. We've had mistakes and errors before, but this one's a brand new one. So we'll just put that in the bag. And where are my backdrops? Because they're awesome. No, that's the wrong one. Bottom row, always the bottom row. There we go. They're really cool. So I just want to see them one more time. How many kids are in here that are ignition age? Like last week I had like 9 of them, and today I've got 2, 3. Can I get the ignition? Yeah, pre-K through first grade guy, people, kiddos up here. And I was gonna get stools out for everybody, but I don't need your. Yeah, come on up. And let me turn my mic off. Okay, now, just out of curiosity, are they in the shot? Okay, cool. All right, so we are, we're going to do a little quiz, and I'm going to turn this away because the answers are here. We're going to do a little math quiz, and if, you know, you guys probably wouldn't know this, but most of you know that I'm not a fan of math. Math is important. Math matters somewhere. When we were in Florida, we got to, I think I said this before, we went out onto the beach at 1 a.m. and watched a rocket launch, and I'm sure math had something to do with that. That was really cool. It made it into space, so it definitely, the math had something to do with it. But we're going to do a math quiz, but here's what's going to happen. You guys are going to need to answer the questions, and they're going to be on the screen in a second. But you're allowed to do this. You are allowed to leave and go ask a parent or a friend or someone you came with if you want help with the answer. Okay, so there's going to be a little bit of running back and forth here if you need help. Are you with me? Can you do that? Okay, so you're going to have to write your answer down here, and then you can erase it if you want to. Okay, so looking at the screen, the first question is, all right, if 1 equals 3, 2 equals 3, 3 equals 5, 4 equals 4, 5 equals 4, then 6 equals what? So if you need to run and get some help from somebody in the audience and write down an answer, take your board with you so you can write down the answer. Yeah, but don't, like, maybe cap that pen. That's a pretty dress. You know, you don't want to, oh, too late. Okay, so if you need an answer for that, all right, you can go ahead and get some help from anybody. The rest of you can be thinking about this and see if you know the answer as we go through this math question here. So once you think you have an answer, oh, wait, now we're polling the audience. Okay, all right, once you have the answer, go ahead and write it down and take your spot up here. Okay, we have 8 of these, or 7 of these. Okay, all right. Okay, come on, Michaela. All right, let's see what you got. Oh wait, we turn. Okay, so go ahead and turn your boards around so we can all see your answers. What do we have here? 6, 6, and 5. Okay. So, what do you guys think the answer is? 3, 5. Okay, the answer is 6. Three letters. So it's, I know it says 6. It's S. I see 1 has 3 letters. 2 has 3 letters. 3 has 5 letters. T-H-R-E-E. 4 has 4 letters. F-O-U-R. 5 has 4 letters. F-I-V-E. And 6 has 3 letters. S-I-X. That's math. All right. Okay. Okay, ready? Erase your answers. Okay, here's the next one. We got to go a little faster on this. So parents and people, audience, be ready to help them out too. No, where are you going? You don't have to go yet. You don't have the question. Okay, fair enough. Thank you. All right. Good enough. All right, so here's the next question. What number is covered by the car? All right, what number? So 1606-6888-98. What is the number that is covered by the car? If you need help, go ask the audience. You going to get this one on your own? All right, go ask for some help. Go ask for some help. All right. Okay. Oh, my word. Some people's kids, like, how many times do some people's sons just screw things up in one morning? What? He's an only child now, so. Coming soon to a church parking lot near you. Okay, so 1606-6888. Okay, so just before, let me see your answers. Okay. 08-87-87. Okay, you have 08-87-87. So just out of curiosity, what if we flip the picture? What's the missing number? 87. 87 is the missing number. So there you go. All right. Okay, got to keep going faster. Okay, you can erase that. Got to erase that. Okay, don't even erase it. Just scratch it out and use something else, because clearly these erasers do not work very well. Okay, the next one. Okay, here's on the screen. I am an odd number. You know what an odd number and even numbers are, right? Right? I am an odd number. Take away one letter and I become even. What number am I? Okay, go. If you need to go get answers, go ahead. You can think. You can get it. We're just thinking. Okay, she's going for it. All right, are you just going to pure brain power it? Okay, no, you're going for... Oh, you're going over... Oh, my word. Okay. Look at her board. Oh, I'm dancing in the middle. You can't see my dance online. So... All right. What are you doing? Yeah. All right. Wait. You already had your shot. Come on. No, we don't have time. Sorry. All right. Okay. What do you have? 9. 7 and 7, and the answer is 7, because if you take away one letter, the word becomes even. That's it. Okay, so, all right, this one, yeah. Here we go. Next one. Two girls were born to the same mother at the same time, on the same day, in the same month, and the same year, and yet somehow they're not twins. Why not? Word problem for you. Two girls born to the same mother at the same time, on the same month, the same year, and yet somehow they're not twins. Why not? Go find out. Go get some answers. Go get some help. I should have a clock. That would help. That would help. So I'm going to count down from 10 slowly, just because eventually I'm going to teach the Bible. 10, 9, 8, don't... what's that? 9, 7. I totally missed 7. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, don't trip. Don't stab anybody with the pen either. Okay, yeah, you're good. Okay, so why are they not twins? What have you got? There are 3 of them, triplets. What do you have? Because of their birthday. Well, the answer is, it's not on the screen, it's because, yeah, they are triplets. There's a third one born. That's why they're not twins, because when 3 people are born at the same time. So another important math word problem. A ship anchored in a port has a ladder. which hangs over the side. The length of the ladder is 200 centimeters. The distance between each rung is 20 centimeters, and the bottom rung touches the water. If the tide rises at a rate of 10 centimeters of an hour, when will the water reach the fifth rung? Yeah, go to the engineer. John Unks knows the answer to this one. All right, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, by the way, you're near the equator. I should have added that. You know, that'll affect the gravitational rate of acceleration of 9.81 meters per second squared as the lunar eclipse affects the tide rate. So what's the answer? 10, 125, 10 minutes. The answer is never. Never. Because the ship always floats with the rising tide. So it'll never. Ha, you got engineered. Anyway, okay. Okay, now here's the last one. A basket contains five pieces of fruit. How do you divide the fruit among five children? Yep. So that each child has one piece. How do you divide it among five children? So each child has one piece while one piece remains in the basket. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and ask. Go get some help. There's a basket containing five pieces of fruit. How do you divide the fruit among five children so that each child has one piece while one piece remains in the basket? Ten. You get vanished into the crowd. Nine. Eight. Seven. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two, one. Okay, Alethea and Tommy, would you please join me on stage as children? Okay, so you cut one of them, cut one in half. You've got a picture. Are they cutting that one? Okay, so five children. Here, don't stand there. You're getting blocked. Don't know. Get out of the way of the ignition sign. Okay. Yeah, you're good. Okay, so here's how you divide five pieces of fruit in a basket so that everyone has one piece. All right? We'll start at this end. Here you go. One for this child. One for this child. One. One for this child. One for this child. One in the basket for this child. Okay, thank you guys. You can put your fruit back in the basket, and all of you can just have a seat. You don't have to worry about erasing them because it really doesn't erase. Just do cap your pens, please. No, okay, really, okay, fine. All right, give me your fruit. Thank you, children. All right, you guys can have a seat. Thank you, ladies, for your help up here, and you can thank them for a nothing because they didn't help you. Okay. So this is how often I'm not a math fan. You probably have seen this meme before. This is how I see math word problems. If you have four pencils and I have seven apples, how many pancakes will fit on the roof? Purple, because aliens don't wear hats. Like, that's how often when I see a math problem, it just kind of word problems throw me off. And maybe I kind of feel like I'm the outsider when it comes to a math class like this, and perhaps you can identify.
The three cardinal trapezoidal formations, hereto made orientable in our diagram by connecting the various points HIGK, PEGQ, and LMNO, creating our geometric configurations, which have no properties but with location, are equal to the described triangle CAB quintuplicated. Therefore,
It is also the five triangles composing the aforementioned NIGH. Each are equal to the triangle CAB in this geometric concept. Therefore, in a like manner, the geometric metaphors can derive a repeated vectoral sum. This was your assignment, and I would like to see the results. Please, take them out.
That's called a dot matrix printer in the background.
Oops. Sophia.
Oh, and Buster.
Mr. Meyer. Please join us at the blackboard and show us your solution to this paltry geometric dilemma.
Oh, sorry.
No. I'll see you all tomorrow. Just remember to memorize pages 39 to 110 for tomorrow's lesson.
All right. Yes.
So, yeah, that's how sometimes I feel in math class and not quite understanding things. Why am I talking about math? Because today I want to give you a simple math thing, and it is so simple that actually Amy pulled me aside just a few minutes ago and like, why don't people do that? It's so simple. Like, and she didn't even know this is where I was going. So I want to share a simple math thing, and the point that we're going to, the point that I want you to get this week is we wrap up Wise Up Again. So this is our 16th proverb when you tie the two series together. The point is wise up and start doing. Wise up and start doing. And we're looking at this proverb in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 22. And I'm going to break it down, but I'm going to break it down so simply that it'll be easy. It says, all hard work pays off, but if all you do is talk, you will be poor. And so here is the very simple math. And again, it is just that simple. The first part of this equation, if you will, and some of you be like, I'm an engineering student. That's not an equation. Shut up. but here is what it is. The first part is that real doing equals something positive. It equals gain. It equals something worth something. And that is what the first part of this proverb says. The writer of Proverbs here, which most likely was Solomon writing this, says all hard work pays off. And there's a couple of Hebrew words here. The phrase hard work, it means work, trouble, difficulty. It's actually the same Hebrew word that is used for childbirth. So probably is something that's hard. All hard work pays off. And the word, some of your translations, this is the NIRV, some translations will say equals riches, equals profit. But the word is not specifically a money word. It's malthar is means to gain, to have preeminence, to have profit, like, but not in a just financial sense. It means that if you do hard work, you will gain something. You will gain something. Real doing equals hard work. And so the writer of Proverbs says, if you want to accomplish something to make a difference, if you want to do something that's going to matter, if you want to actually have real gain, it's going to take hard work. And the thing is, like, we see people, we see the results a lot of times of hard work, but not what goes on behind the scenes. And that's why this is so challenging sometimes. I just saw a video. It was a long time ago from Tom Brady, and he was like, it looked like he was speaking to a graduating class or something, and he was just talking about how difficult it is to get up early and go and practice, and how you have to do it over and over and over, and just went through this whole thing and just said, because it's hard work to get to the level that he was at. And you know, that happens on so many levels. We see the results, but we don't see the hard work. And sometimes we're like, well, it's not that big of a deal. I guess, you know, I could just be a professional quarterback. You probably can't. You probably can't, because you don't have what it takes to put in the hard work. And my son-in-law is a professional violinist. And if you hear him play, it's just beautiful. It's incredible. But when they were engaged, he was here. When Cara and Brinson were engaged, he was here on, was that spring break last? No, it wouldn't have been spring break. It was 2 years. At one of the breaks, he was here. And Chris can recognize this, because Brinson had to practice 8 hours, even on break, every day. And so he was down in Bay 3, and like, you come into our building, you're like, wow, this is a fancy church. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Because he's down there practicing and practicing and practicing. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. And the writer of Proverbs is saying, if you want to make a difference, it's going to take real work. And this isn't difficult. It's not a secret code. It's very easy. It means that doing the hard things will make a difference. And again, Proverbs, as we'll see in a moment, are true-to-life statements. They are things that were observations that the writer of Proverbs noticed about life and recorded them down for us to gain wisdom, which you've heard so many times already. As we said a couple weeks ago, Proverbs are often analogies. And so this is an analogy about something. And it's a comparing some things, but I want you to understand, just as important, some basic piece to this, is that this hard work that we're talking about, as you'll see when we look at the second half, isn't about earning your salvation or earning your love. Because there is nothing, as we said so many times, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you less. Paul said it to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, you know, you can't take credit for this salvation. It's by grace. It's a gift of God, not by works, not because of what you've done. So hear me, that this is part of an analogy. This is part of a proverb, of a description of something that the author noticed, but it isn't tied to you need to work hard in order to get to heaven, because that is not the case. Jesus already did the work for you. And that's not what he's talking about here. But he's saying that real work, real doing equals positive. It equals a gain. It equals something to benefit. And here's the other half of this very simple equation, which is the comparison. And that is that just talking equals loss. Just talking equals loss. And this is it. If you want to make a difference, it's going to require hard work. It's going to require you to do something. And if you think you're making a difference and all you're doing is just talking, you're actually not making a difference. And that's the second part of the proverb. But if all you do is talk, you will be poor. That if all you do is say things, and there's actually two Hebrew words here for this word talk. And actually, it's kind of translated, interestingly enough, into English, lip service. Like it's referring to your mouth, to your lips, and to the things that are coming out of it. And if you've ever heard the phrase lip service, means I'm just saying that, but I'm not actually feeling it, or I'm not going to do anything about it. And so the writer of this proverb is saying, if you want to make a difference, it's going to take hard work. And if you think that just talking is going to accomplish something, you're wrong. Because real doing equals something positive, but just talking is something negative. And again, let me clarify a little piece about this half of the proverb. He's not saying that talking is bad. Talking is a good thing. Talking is the beginning. Talking is a great way to communicate. Like, communication is important. Justin and Steph taught about that a couple weeks ago, the importance of communication. So talking isn't bad, but if you think that your talking is going to accomplish something that's going to matter, there's more to it than just talking. And this was written, let's see, if this was Solomon, we're looking at around, so is this temple 780, around 700, how many, what are we in, 2000? So somewhere around 27 to 3,000 years ago, 2,700 to 3,000 years ago. And so this author was well ahead of his time because he's talking about a term that is now officially in the dictionary that is used here in America, and that term is slacktivism. And slacktivism is a, and this is the definition, says slacktivism is actions taken to endorse and promote political or social causes and movements, but involving only minimal commitment, effort, or risk. And so the writer of this proverb is saying, look, people, if you want to make a difference in the world, it's going to take more than just slacktivism. It's going to take more than just your words. And so here are some things that perhaps you have seen, and maybe you've done these things too. And, you know, I'm not here to point you out on your own. You can, you know, let God work on you. But the idea is that when I see an injustice or a person in need, I can simply write about it on my Facebook page and think I've made a difference. I've helped them because I reposted it. Or if there's a loss, or you see someone is going through a hard time or they have a need, just write thoughts and prayers. And you're good. You don't have to do one thing. And you can walk away going, I am such a great person because I said thoughts and prayers. And I took the extra few seconds to type it out. But that's slacktivism. I feel like I've made a difference by writing that. Or maybe you click a box on a petition. All right, yeah, I'm changing the world. Probably not. Maybe you forward an email. Hey, forward this to 10 of your best friends, and the government will take action, and Bill Gates will give you a check that he was handwritten by Steve Jobs to give to you for $1,000. That's also going to happen too. But that idea of that, or reposting, hey, all you guys need to see this. You need to do something about this. Or without getting too personal, but let me get too personal. Maybe you see a need and you go to Chris, our C3 caring pastor, and you say, why doesn't our church do something about this? But not willing to actually do something about it yourself. Quicker to complain or say, Chris, you better fix this. Or Sean, why isn't the church, why don't the elders do something about this? But not willing to actually do something yourself. See, that's called slacktivism. And that's this idea of saying, you know what, I want to make a difference, but I don't really want to have to work to do it. And the writer of Proverbs is like, dude, 3,000 years from now, this is still going to apply. Because if we want to do something that matters, it's going to require more than just talk. And so, that's it. Real doing accomplishes something. Real doing leads to something, to gain, to something happening. But just talking is simply negative. So the point is, wise up and start doing. Make a difference. So honestly, I had another thing I was going to do here with the Ignition kids, but unfortunately we don't have enough to bring them on stage here. But I wanted to have them make a cup pyramid. Have you guys ever seen the cup pyramid? It's a stack and stuff. But I was going to have, you know, one of the youngest ones come up here, and only they could do the work when everyone else just kind of told them what to do. And obviously in a situation like that, if everyone, especially because these cups were like, they had like static, they kept sticking to each other. But in that idea, like if everyone is helping to get the cards, to get the cups to stack up, it would be a lot better than just being like, yeah, move that one. No, you're doing that one wrong. Fix that. Okay, stand that one up. No, go over there. No, that's not right. Like, saying all those things isn't actually going to accomplish as much as if those hands were here and say, I'm going to start doing something. I'm going to help you. And again, that idea of sitting around and feeling like saying something is what's going to make a difference. Because as the writer of Proverbs says, no, really, that's not going to get you much. Just talking isn't going to do much. It's the actual action. It's the willingness to step out. It's the willingness to take action, to do something. And again, we've got a culture that has kind of made this, well, slacktivism, a reason it's in the dictionary now, that's made it this thing that's like, oh, yeah, I clicked that. I'm totally good. Or we get, you know, outraged, and we will totally repost it on every one of our social media sites. Yeah! But not actually do something to solve the problem. We can talk about poverty. We can talk about racism. We can talk about illegal immigration. We can talk about all these things, but have any of you actually engaged in a conversation with someone that is in one of those categories? And I'm not trying to, like, oh, you're all horrible people. I'm just saying culturally, it's just become normal now. And 3,000 years ago, give or take, the writer of this proverb says, no, we need to start doing something. And I think for you guys, again, this room 2 weeks ago, and then next week, I'm an equal opportunity dad, because I know the Karen students are leaving. A lot of them, some of them already left, are leaving today. The LBC students left last week or earlier this week. And some of the other students are going off to college. But 2 weeks ago, this room had a very different group of people than there will be, well, not next week because there's no one going to be in here, but in 2 weeks from now, because of all these students that have gone off. And I know a lot of the reasons why you go to college, why you went to college, why you're doing what you're doing in your job is because you want to make a difference. And I just want to just recognize and call out this very simple math that if you want to make a difference, it's going to require doing some hard things. It's going to require doing some hard work and not just sitting back and saying, yeah, you should do that better. Why don't those people fix something? But getting over and say, okay, let me see if I can help you stack the cups. Let me see if I can help you do that. So I just want to kind of to share just what I have here. Four different ways we slacktivate. And that is not a word. But if you're a slacktivist, if you're participating in slacktivism, you are therefore slacktivating. Sure, is what I think. So I just want to just clarify a couple things here, because I think this idea, like, yeah, I mean, I think we would all agree that saying thoughts and prayers isn't good enough. But yet there are some things that I think we do that we don't realize aren't actually doing. They're just talking. So what are some ways that we slacktivate? The first way is by knowing. By knowing. Now, knowing things isn't bad. But if knowing is the end, then you're done. I mean, if you come to gather on Sunday mornings for this thing and you walk away knowing, and that's the end of it, let me be straight. I have failed. Chris has failed, and the elders have failed. This is not a church. This is a lecture hall. This is a classroom. Because we are not just supposed to know. Knowing is important. Knowing is half the battle. We're supposed to do something with it. And we have Prime Basis coming up this fall. There are some openings on there where I am going to walk you through some of the basics of what we believe, why, and why. And that's knowledge stuff, and that's important. But knowing isn't the end. And there's this thing, we actually sang about it the last song, and you're going to hear a lot more about this next month in the Called to Care series. But in John chapter 13, right? John chapter 13, Jesus just finished washing his disciples' feet. He went around to each of his disciples, washed their feet, took the role of a slave, of a servant, and did the lowest, most disgusting thing, to wash dirty men's sandals in dusty, poopy, you know, Israel. And he was finished, and he says to them, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. And he uses the phrase Lord, which means master. If you call someone Lord, you're saying, you're my boss. You're the one in charge. You're the one calling the shots. And he also says, and teacher. And he says teacher because he was their rabbi. He was the one that instructed them. And a good disciple would do and live and act based on how their rabbi did and lived and acted. And he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. He says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master. So he's saying, you're not going to be greater than me. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. But look what he says. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed. He doesn't end it there. He says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And so the idea, Jesus is like, look, you've seen what I've seen, what I've done, and you're like, yeah, Jesus washed my feet. Jesus served me. And he's saying to his disciples, if you just go around saying, guys, Jesus served me. Hey, Jesus served me. Jesus served me. He's like, that's not doing a thing. He says, what you need to do is do what I did. You need to serve other people. So just knowing isn't enough. You need to do something about it. And that's what he says to them. I have a friend that once described this Sunday gathering sort of like football practice. Like, here's where we get the plays, and we kind of go through and we learn the techniques, and okay, here's the X's and O's, and you're going to go around there, and you're going to cut them off, and this is how you're going to do it. And then the game begins when you walk out of that door, putting into practice what you've learned, the hard work. And so there is knowledge, but that knowledge goes to doing something with it. And so that's one way that we slacktivate. And again, the entire next series in September is called Called to Care. And it's about what does it look like to actually care for those around us? Because it's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not a, hey, that would be neat. It's something we are called or commanded to do. So all next month will be about that. And I'm going to be teaching. Chris is going to be sharing the teaching with me one of those days. The missions team is going to share how they cared for those in Mexico and Oaxaca. So you don't want to miss next month, but that's coming soon next month. But so knowing is one way. Another way that we slacktivate is by wishing and hoping. And this idea of kind of like, well, you know, I really hope things work out for you. You know, this is maybe where thoughts and prayers. And don't get me wrong. Prayer actually does make a difference. And I know Kirk said this when he was teaching. Like, well, if you're going to say you're praying for them, at the very least, pray. Thoughts and prayers, and you totally forget that. But maybe thoughts and prayers isn't the end. Maybe wishing them well isn't the end. Maybe you need to do something about it. And James was very clear and direct about this in James chapter 2. And we talked about this in the Dupes series. That's on the slideshow. You can find that series on our website. And James says this way, suppose a person claims to have faith, but doesn't act on their faith. He says, suppose they're call themselves a follower of Jesus, but doesn't act on it. My brothers and sisters, can this kind of faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister has no clothes or food. Suppose one of you says to them, go, I hope everything turns out well for you, turns out fine for you. Keep warm, eat well, I'm thinking of you. And suppose you do nothing about what they really need. Then what good have you done? It's the same with faith. If it doesn't cause us to do something, it's dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I do good deeds. James says, show me your faith that doesn't cause you to do good deeds, and I will show you my faith by the good deeds I do. James is saying, look, and this isn't saving faith. This is a result of your relationship with Jesus. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then do something for people. Don't just thoughts and prayers them. Don't just, hey, I'm thinking of you. And I get it. Sometimes that, like, you know, if you've got a family member that's 13 states away and you can't actually get there because they have something happening to them in 10 minutes, you know, you could say, hey, I'm praying for you. Absolutely, do it. I'm thinking about you. How are you doing? How did the interview go? Like, those are legitimate things. Please, don't show up at the interview with them. Hey, son, I know you've got this big interview. I'll be there and I'm going to sit right next to you. I'll tell them what this is. No, that is probably not going to go so well. But you can say, hey, I'm thinking about you. How's it going? I'm praying for you. So there are times that that's worked, but many times you need to do something. Over in 1 John, John says it this way. He says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. See, James and John were saying that faith is demonstrated by what they do. And so wishing isn't quite the end. You can't just wish, oh, I hope it all works out for you. Maybe you need to do something. And I think one of the cool things is that by doing something, we can stand out from our culture. Because I can tell you, I mean, right? There is a Facebook post. Hey, this thing happened. You know, I had a fire. Or, you know, my car broke down and I can't get to work. And then the Facebook post is like, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. I'm thinking of you, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. You know what would be crazy? If you were like, hey, I'll be over to pick you up and take you to work. And suddenly you would stand out. Jesus says, shine like stars. No, Paul says it. Shine like stars in the universe. Jesus says, let your light shine on a hill. Do things and you're going to stand out. And sometimes that's going to make a difference. And maybe that's the key that says, wow, you know, what is it about you? Why did you do something for me when everyone else just wished me well? Well, let me tell you about Jesus and what he did for me. Because he served me by dying on the cross. And I am called to care for you. And so I'm serving you in the same way. So knowing, wishing, the third way we slacktivate. As I say, we have a series called Dupes where we talk about that James passage. The third way is believing. And I have believing in quotes because, again, I want to make sure that we understand that in order to get to heaven, I don't want to put that in quotes, in order to get to heaven, it's simply through belief in what Jesus did on the cross, because you can't do enough to earn your way to heaven. You can't be good enough because you have to be perfect. And if you have at least once sinned, maybe you thought a bad thought, maybe you lied, maybe you gossiped, boom, you're done. You're not qualified. So Jesus did for you what only he could do because you can't do it. And you need to believe in what he did on the cross for you. That gets you into heaven for eternity. So please hear that believing does get you. Like, that is it. There is nothing you need to do because it's already been done by Jesus. But sometimes believing, and that's why I have it in quotes, is kind of this response. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Yeah, I believe you. I believe that. But by saying believe doesn't mean you actually believe. And we did a series called Messengers a number of years ago. And if you go to the final week of that series, it's called Scavengers. I unpacked that whole idea. And if you were here that day, you remember we actually had a tightrope. And I just shared this story not too long ago as well. The idea of a tightrope walker saying, yeah, do you think I could carry a person across this tightrope? Do you believe I could do it in a wheelbarrow? And everybody's like, yeah, I believe you can do that. And they're like, would you be willing to jump into the wheelbarrow? And everybody's hands went down. Well, then they don't actually believe it. Because if they believed it, they would get in the wheelbarrow. And so this idea of believing is, we need to go beyond that. And there's this passage in Luke chapter 6 where Jesus says, again, there's that phrase, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He says, why do you call me master? Why do you say, yes, master, but you're actually not doing what he says, so therefore he's not your master, so stop calling him Lord. That's what he's saying there. That's what this means. And he says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words, and look what he says, and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. And you probably heard this story. If you grew up in church, you probably sang a song about it. It says, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But... so again, it's not just hearing the words. It says, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice. So it's a matter of putting them into practice, because I think the old song we used to sing in church growing up in Sunday school was, you know, the rock is Jesus. And that's true. But the song is about obeying God's word. It's not just knowing it, it's doing something. That's what he's saying. So he says, you can know God's word, you can believe it, but if you don't put it into practice, he says, then you're like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. I think Matthew records it as made a house on the foundation of sand. It says, the moment the torrent struck, the waves came, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So Jesus says, look, if you're going to believe, you're going to call yourself a follower of me, if you're going to call me Lord, dear Lord, can you please help my cat to get better? Dear Lord, can you help me on this test that I didn't study for? Dear Lord, thank you that we can worship you today at church. Like, that's how we start our prayers, right? Dear Lord. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to use that title, then actually follow me and do what I say. Obey me. Don't just believe, because believing is wasted. Don't just believe. He says, put it into practice. Don't just hear what I say. Don't just learn my words, listen to my words, but actually do something. And And it's really cool, and of course you guys all, even if you never went to church before, you're probably familiar with this story. In Matthew chapter, was that 14? Yeah. It says about 3 o'clock in the morning, the disciples are out in a boat, by the way, and they're trying to cross the Sea of Galilee. And there was a huge storm that came up, and they're rowing really hard, and they're not getting very far. And it says at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them in his motorboat saying, "Guys, come on, get on board, we're good to go." That's not how he came to them. He says they came to them walking on the water. And I just love how chill that is. At 3 in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Like, there's no, like, and in an amazing moment of miraculousness, he was walking on, no, that's Jesus. Of course he's walking on the water. Duh. What else would you expect? So he came toward them walking on the water. Well, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." Like, this is freaky stuff, okay? You're in the middle of a storm, so you're already scared. It's the middle of the night. It's dark. I was just telling someone, I think we were talking about riding our bikes on the beach a few years ago, and we rode our bikes out to get ice cream with the kids when we were in Florida one year, and we had a great time. We rode, and we got ice cream, stopped at the ice cream place, ate, enjoyed it. You know, it got darker while we were there, and then got back on the beach. There's no light on most beaches at all. And so, like, our kids were little then. Kendra, I was at the front. Someone was up front with a phone as a flashlight, and everyone else had to file in a single file line. Kendra actually had one of those helmets that had a flashy thing on it. She never used, but it turned into be helpful. Everybody just followed the straight line flashy dart because flashy light, because in the dark you can't see anything. You can't see holes. You can't see anything like that. And so here they are in the middle of this sea, which is huge, and Jesus comes and walks out to them. And they're scared. But Jesus spoke to them once and said, "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Okay, Peter's like, "All right, I recognize the voice. I recognize the guy. The walking on water is still a little weird." So Peter called to him and said, Lord, here's that word again. "If it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on water." He says, "I believe it's you. I think it's you. It's really you. Tell me to come to you." "Yes, come," Jesus said. And then Peter could be like, "Well, I didn't really mean it that way. I mean, why don't you come over here and prove it? Come a little closer." Can we, like, "Hey, Jesus, hey, Thomas, do you need to touch his hands? Is that really him? Like, what is this?" But that's not how Peter responded. His faith, his belief wasn't like, "Okay, I didn't really mean that." No, it says, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Like, he had the faith, the belief that put action behind it. Says, "Yeah, I believe, and here I am going to go step on the water." And he did. And, of course, you know the story. The winds came, and he was afraid, and Jesus, he started to sink, and Jesus had to reach him out. But we forget the fact that Peter's faith was strong enough to step out onto the water and start walking. I mean, we don't know how far he walked, but he's walking. And that's belief. That's removing the quotes from belief, because that's belief that says, "Yeah, I believe it, and I'm going to do something about my belief. I'm going to respond. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm not just going to hear your words, but I'm going to do it. I'm not going to call you Lord, Lord, and not do what you say. I'm going to do it." And so that's another way we're sometimes slacktivists, is by believing but not actually doing anything with our belief. And then the final way is through faking. I would say that the first three of these is where we mean well. We mean well. Like, our intentions are good, but again, intentions aren't enough. We need to do something. Hopefully you've got that this morning. But just saying things, just reposting something, you got to do something if there's a need. But this one here, faking, is where you know you're not doing anything and you sure like looking like you are. You sure do want people to think that, wow, they're a pretty great person. And that's where you're just faking. This is straight up deception. And this is how Paul responds to that. He writes to the church in Galatia. And if this is you, if you're a faker, maybe you're not, "Oh, I mean well." If you're just straight up, "Yeah, I want people to think that I'm doing something when I'm not." Paul writes, "Don't be misled." No, this is the message. I love just how real it is. No one makes a fool of God. Okay? Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. You're not gonna trick God. You might trick people. You might trick the people around you. But you're not going to trick God. He says the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So Paul's like, look, if you're faking it, you might be able to deceive the people around you, but you're not deceiving God. So be real. And all you're going to do is you're just going to have weeds. You're gonna like, oh, I'm making a difference. You're not, though. You're not going to make a difference. You're just slacktivating in another way. So there are some ways that we slacktivate. And I've done all of these things before. Absolutely. But sometimes we think knowing is enough. No, knowing isn't enough. Let's do something about it. Wishing, oh, I hope you know. No, don't just wish them well. Don't just thoughts and prayers them. Actually do something. Or at the very least, actually pray for them. Believing isn't enough if you're just like, oh, I believe, but not willing to back it up with our actions. Get out of the boat. Help that person. Meet that need. And then finally, faking it. Like, if you think you're impressing people, if you think you're impressing God, unfortunately, you're wrong. And so the point this week is wise up and start doing. It's very simple math. Real doing leads to gain. Real doing makes a difference. Just talking leads to nothing. It leads to pointlessness. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these, 16 Proverbs we've looked at over these two series and just the way you've shown us some things that we can learn. I pray that we would walk away with the wisdom that is included, that is contained in these Proverbs, that is contained in this book, and that we would be more like Jesus because of it, as we sang earlier, that we'd be more like you, and that you would take away all the other things that are getting in the way of that, and specifically with this idea of talking versus doing. Obviously, talking matters, and belief is so important. But God, help us to take it to that next step. Help us to be like Peter, to actually do something, to step out and make a difference in someone's life. And we know, God, that by stepping out and by doing that, you will use us, and that we can call you Lord, Lord, because you were the example to us. And so we want to follow your example of serving those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.